Hi, Ron here, and welcome. We love that you've come to join us here and listen to a lot of our episodes. Please help us continue with this by supporting us through either joining the Barak Center at thebarakcenter.com or joining us at the Fringe Church at thefringechurch.com and sharing and donating through those sources. And once again, thank you for joining us today.
G'day. I'm the Reverend Ron Hutchinson. But just call me Ron. Look, we're all called to be priests and ministers, really. So, I'm not big on the titles and that sort of stuff. But Mel and some of the guys asked me to come on here on faith and discipleship and to give my testimony. You'll have to forgive me. I'm not at 100%. I'm still recovering from COVID, so I'm not feeling the best. So if I get a bit croaky or something, please just forgive me. I wanted to come on, and she's given me three questions she sent through, which she asked me to talk about. So the first one she asked was, what was life like before I met Jesus? So this is something I really don't like doing, is giving my testimony. So I think the best testimonies are the ones which have happened in the last couple of weeks, not the ones you've lived through, like I was here and now I'm here. But that's just me. But I'll give you a little bit. So I was born in a violent home, dealing with abuse and all sorts of things, and spent a bit of time living on the streets, got involved in gangs and clubs, violence, saw a lot of my friends and people die of drug addiction and drug overdoses and all sorts of things. I was knew a lot of the criminal underworld and stuff in Brisbane growing up as a young fella. Never got particularly affiliated with anyone, and I guess at the height of what I was doing was I was fighting in a ring for entertainment for some of those people in the underworld sort of scenario, and I'd get $50 if I lost a fight and $100 if I won a fight. That and working all sorts of jobs, whatever I could do to try and get through. So working at Coles, cleaning up in a bakery, hanging off the back of a milk truck, paper runs, whatever I could do to get my way through, to be able to own a bit of land or a bit of property which would be mine and my own little place to retreat. And I was lucky and fortunate enough doing all of this stuff to be able to buy an old house which was actually probably should have been condemned when I was about 18 years old. So when I was about 18 years old, I bought my first property, which was falling down. They put in a double garage underneath this house, and they ripped the stumps out and hadn't put anything in to support the house. So it was falling down, and one of the main walls to the house was falling down. But I had a lot of connections and things through different people I knew, through life experience and stuff at that stage. So one of the guys I knew was a builder who came in and fixed it up fairly cheap for me. When I say fixed it up, he made sure it wasn't falling down anymore by putting some posts and bolts and things through underneath. It wasn't pretty, but it did the job. It wasn't going to fall down anymore. And this house became a kind of a halfway house for a lot of guys who were involved in criminality, drugs, gangs, clubs, all sorts of things. It was a house where they'd leave their rubbish and politics and stuff at the door, if that makes sense, and come inside, and it was a safe haven for people to come in. And this was before I knew Christ. I had this sort of thing going, so I had this house going, and it was a strange place. It really never got locked, and I'd often come home from work and there'd be meals cooked for me by people who were involved in all sorts of criminal activity or all sorts of things, and it was just a safe haven for them to be able to hang out and be themselves. And saw a lot of wonderful things happen in that time where I had some people who were affiliated with neo-Nazis and some people who were affiliated with Asian gangs and stuff coming together who were sharing a beer and watching a movie and having a laugh and that sort of thing because they left all the rubbish outside and come in. I guess one of the next questions which Mel asked me is, how and when did I meet Jesus? Now this is interesting because I think I always knew him. I think he was always there, and when I look back I can definitely see it in the things I saw in that house and the things I managed to survive and the things I got through. Yeah, definitely Jesus was there, God was there, definitely involved all the way through. And I can see him working through me even back then when I didn't understand. These days I've got a theological degree and all sorts of things, so and a lot of experience to be able to look back and see where God was actually working through my life before I even knew, had a relationship with him like I do today, let's say. But, I had a motto over my life, because home was very violent and I'd often get broken ribs and broken fingers and all sorts of things, and my life was very violent and I suffered a lot of abuse and violence at the hands of many people, and I also dished out a fair bit of violence in my younger days. But my motto, the thing which I remember saying to myself when I was 10 or 11 years old, when I was lying on my bed after I'd just had a really big hiding, I had a couple of broken fingers, and I was lying on my bed and feeling sorry for myself, and I remember saying to myself, "You know, world, you can beat me, but you will never beat me." And that was my attitude, and I did things under my own strength for so long. For so long in my life, I fought and fought. Now, I did say before, I've got a theological degree, and I've done quite a bit of study afterwards, and I hang out with a lot of professors and doctors and stuff in university, which is quite interesting, because my education's not great. I'm actually dyslexic, and somehow I managed just to get through, and think people have got an interest in what I've got to say. That's one of the ways where I think God has really turned up, because he tends to use our weaknesses for his strength. His strength shines in our weaknesses. You know, I've actually written a couple of books and all sorts of things, but I am dyslexic and I do struggle with these things. But if I'm talking about the right stuff and I'm in the right area, it seems like it goes away. And I managed to be able to do a lot better than I would normally. So Jesus was always there, but I didn't rely on him. I didn't have that relationship with him. Again and again and again he turned up. There were so many times in my life where really I shouldn't be here. Where my own reckless behavior and pursuing things. You know, I got to the stage where this strange psychological thing happened with me, where I could handle pain, I could handle abuse, I could handle being hit, but I could not handle affection. I could not handle the idea of love. I really battled and struggled with that. And through that, I kind of switched where I couldn't handle being tickled or cuddled or shown affection, but I could handle being beaten with an inch of my life. The pain would not bother me. The affection would. In fact, the pain would do something inside me, and people used to say that I was, for anyone who knows stuff out there in what happens in those sort of worlds, is there's a thing called blooding, what they do to a dog. And they used to say that I was blooded, because the more pain I feel, the harder I'd fight. The more pain I'd feel, the more vicious I'd get. but I would never back down and never stop. In the ring, I used to end up getting called that I was pure evil hidden behind an innocent face. Now, these are things I'm rather ashamed of, looking back. But I didn't really know any better. And I guess my relationship grew with Jesus over the time after I stopped doing those things and I got closer to him. But it wasn't until an event quite some years ago now. I was an adult, had a couple of kids, and I actually had really bad health concerns and all sorts of things go on, and I tried to take my own life. I went down to slice my wrists open, and I had a brand new razor blade, and I ran it down my arm with as much pressure as I could and with as much vigor as I could. And yet the blade, which was a brand new razor blade in this box cutter, snapped on my skin, leaving just a scratch. It's one of the times I heard God so clearly, where he said to me, everything inside me came up and said to me, about time. About time you get out of your own way. About time you stop trying to fight and do everything on your own. About time you let me in and build this relationship. From that point on, everything changed. From that point on, I was going to a rather large church, and they didn't have a home or a space for people who reflected my past. A past of violence, a past where drugs were a common thing, a past where criminality and all sorts of stuff was going on. And it really hurt me, and I went to the leaders of the church and asked if I could do something, and basically the response wasn't great. And it really bugged me because I saw these people coming into the church who desperately needed to know God and desperately needed a connection to Christ, who were not finding a home, who were finding, through their own perception or whatever, were finding condemnation and feeling judged, instead of finding love and acceptance. Now, this is the key thing for me. There's this Latin term that they call Imago Dei, which is called the image of God. Now, what I believe is that Imago Dei, that image of God, is in all of us. And through our lives, sometimes due to no fault of our own, to the circumstances we're born in, or to our medical life, or genetics, or whatever, or our own stupidity and the decisions we make, we dint up this thing, we bang up this body, we get it dirty, we get it messed up, we fall short, we sin in our lives. But that Imago Dei, that image of God, that thing which is so immensely, incredibly beautiful and immensely, incredibly complex in each and every one of us, and very different in each and every one of us, is alive and well and will never go out. And our job, or my job, for the past 9 odd years, while I've been working in the Fringe Church, which I've recently stepped away from, and also in every aspect of my life, and probably even before I knew Christ, was still doing this, and what I feel my calling is to ignore the mud, ignore the dints, ignore the damage which is done in people and on people's lives, and spend time with them and love them and connect with them and have a curiosity to find that Imago Dei, that intrinsic, incredibly beautiful and very complex thing which is inside of every one of us. To be able to spend the time with someone to find it and pull it out. Now, in the 9 years with Fringe Church and a bit, I've worked with hundreds of people coming out of prison. I've only had one guy go back in. One person while using this technique and this curiosity of sitting down with someone to truly get to know them, to truly understand them, and to truly be able to empathize with them and dig and find that incredible beauty which lies inside them, which is the Imago Dei and the image of God and what they were built and made for with a purpose. And to be able to pull that out and shine a light and focus on that and not the other rubbish which often hangs everyone else up when they see that. One thing is that when Christ went to the cross, he allowed all that rubbish, all that stuff, all those things we do, no matter mean a hill of beans, because we are saved and he paid the price for that. So to spend the time and find that Imago Dei, that image of God, and pull it out is my favorite thing to do in the world, is to sit with people in this relational evangelism kind of model, to be able to spend time to understand another person's soul. To understand and accept them where they are, and to find the love and the beauty and that incredible complexity of the Imago Dei, the image of God in that person, and help bring it out. You see, we talk about evangelism and stuff a lot these days. Sorry, I'm going off topic, but we talk about evangelism and stuff a lot these days, but I really think a lot of us are missing the point. God doesn't come to make evil men or bad men good. He comes to make dead men live. There's that passage in the Bible where it talks about how God's calling out to these bones to reform and come alive. And that's what evangelism is. It's not making bad people good, it's making dead people live. Well, we don't actually do it, but we find what God's already doing when he calls on that dead bones to make it flesh and living heart again. That we can get involved with that to help focus on what God is doing and help bring that forward to illuminate what's happening already inside of a person. But I guess that doesn't really answer the question. How did you meet Jesus? Well, he was always with me. But there was this one point after that suicide attempt. It was Christmas Day and I'll never forget it. I went into a church broken. And there was happy families everywhere, all around me. And I sat there and I wept. Trying not to be seen in the back row, I wept for my life that was. And for my life which will be. At that moment, Jesus came and lived inside my heart more fully and developed everything. From that moment on, no matter what horror or horrific things I was walking through, God was there, Jesus was there. I would go through hardships and horrible things, and I still will in the future. But while I do it, there's a joy and a peace which is inside me, which is unlike anything else, which comes from my relationship with Christ Jesus. So that's probably getting into the third question which Mel asked me to answer, which was, what is life like now with Jesus? Whenever I think about this, I really come to kind of Romans 8 and around Romans, and Romans 8 really has this incredible explanation where it talks about who we were, who we are, and that whole process of transition, what God does for us, and how he takes on our sin. See, the modern church, and a lot of the times that we tend to confuse salvation with sanctification, and that's a crying shame, because salvation is the easy part. That's to say yes to Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with Christ, and that brings us salvation. Sanctification will take you the rest of your life as you become more and more like the image of God, more and more like that Imago Dei, more and more like what you're meant to be like. It's not through our works or what we do or anything like that which gives us salvation. It's just the decision to let Jesus in, to have a relationship with him, which then gives us salvation. This is where Roman 8 really shines and comes in, and where, if you ask me, what is my life like now with Jesus? It's not perfect by any means. And anyone who tell you it is, I think they're full of it. I'll be brutally honest here. I think my life before Jesus was like some sort of animal, some sort of pig, some sort of beast eating horrid, horrific, disgusting stuff and enjoying it. I guess like a pig at a trough eating slop and gruel. That was my life before Christ. Once I met Christ and had that relationship for him, my taste changed and I could no longer stand the flavor of that stuff which was fulfilling me previously. I could no longer handle the taste of that slop anymore. Now, does that mean that everything's changed and everything's good? No way. No way, no sir. Some days, no matter who you are, even me, that spirit, that body, that flesh will take over and I will mess up. I will do something stupid, the way I treat someone, or the way that I'll say something, or I'll be harsh, or pious, or whatever. You know, I'll take too much pride in myself and mess things up, or whatever it is. And I'll wake up in the morning and I'll find myself with my head back in that trough, enjoying that slop again. And the moment I realize it, I can't get that stuff out of me quick enough. The taste of that feral slop, I can't get it out enough. One thing the Holy Spirit is really good for is getting that stuff out. Does like the spiritual Heimlich maneuver on you, you know, when it all comes back out. And that's where grace comes in and repentance comes in. I mess up, I go back to that stuff again, but it doesn't matter. The important thing is that I keep on marching. I get it up, and I turn away and I do the best I can in that sanctification process to become more Christ-like. That's what it's like. I'm not holier than now. I'm just a bloke who messes up, who does my best. Yes, I'm a reverend. Yes, I've run a church for 9 years. Yes, I've seen incredible miracles and healing and all sorts of things, but none of that is me. That's Christ working through me. God doesn't need or want our ability. He wants our availability. He wants us to turn up. He wants us to spend time with people. He wants us to love people who are broken, who are hurting, who are lost. Like Jesus sat with the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the sinners, that's what we should be doing. And looking for that Imago Dei, that image of God, that incredibly beautiful and intricate thing which is inside every single one of us. That soul, if you like. And bring it forward. Bring the beauty out of people. Bring life, not death, everywhere you go. And that is part of the sanctification as you become more Christ-like. I don't know if I've answered all the questions for Mel to a satisfactory thing. I really prefer an interview where I'm sitting across from someone, but I've, considering the COVID and stuff, it's not ideal. So, excuse me, I'm doing my best here. So the questions were, what was life like before Jesus? It was like that beast eating that swill. How and when did you meet Jesus? I always knew him, but I didn't accept him. Once I stepped out of my own way and let him into my life, everything changed. And what is life like now with Jesus? Well, I guess I'm a saved man. I'm dead bones living, thanks to Christ and what he's done through me. But there's still flesh, and I still mess up from time to time. And that's okay. I need to get that stuff out, get that flavor out of my mouth as quickly as I can to turn around, repent, and go back to the way I should be walking. I hope this answers your questions. Again, my name is Ron Hutchinson. I am a reverend, worked with the Fringe Church, or ran the Fringe Church and developed the Fringe Church for the past 9-10 years sort of thing. At the moment, I'm taking a sabbatical, because in the busyness of helping so many others, I have forgot just to sit and hang out with God. And that's my ambition for the next couple of months, is just to hang out with God and get going and start again with new passion and enthusiasm to find that Imago Dei in every living person. It's still happening right now. I can't turn that off. You know, I go to a coffee shop and all of a sudden I'm talking to the person next to me, and this emotional and relational evangelism just takes over. It's so beautiful and so incredible to be allowed by people where they trust you so much to come in and sit and just sit in that place with them of their true, honest, raw self. Not in judgment, but with curiosity to find what God is already doing and be able to join in pulling that forward and bringing that out. Because like me, although I didn't recognize Christ or have that relationship with me, he was there. God was always with me. I was made in his image, as we all are. But it gets tarnished, gets muddy, gets dinted, it gets broken. But that doesn't mean the game's over. Through the grace of God, we can all turn around. I hope this makes sense, and again, reach out to me. By all means, you'll find me on Facebook, or send me an email. I've still got Ron at the Fringe Church going, so you can send me an email there if you like, or on here. If you have questions or anything, I'm happy to answer them. And yeah, I know I kind of dodged out on the real question of my testimony, but I really do believe that we can focus too much on our testimony, and we can almost glorify what we were to who we are now. I much prefer the miracles which happen every day, the miracles which happen this week, the miracles which happen this month, where I've seen God turn up and lives change. I'll tell you those ones every day. Sit down over a coffee and you ask me some questions, because I like coffee, particularly if you're buying, and I will tell you more about my own personal testimony if you wish. But in no way do I want to glorify my past. I'm ashamed of it. But God uses it anyway. I'm no longer feeding it that trough. I'm finding joy, love, compassion, mercy, empathy, community, and ever complex beauty in everything when you take the time to find God and what he's doing and what's already going on. So this is a bit long-winded, and I hope this has helped someone out there. But this is Ron Hutchinson signing off. Mel and the guys from Faith and Discipleship, thank you very much for inviting me along. Sorry that I got sick and we couldn't have a face-to-face. I much prefer that than looking at questions on a sheet. But maybe we can do it again sometime. And anyone who wants to know more, please feel free to reach out. All right. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to another episode. And please, don't forget to sign up to the BarakCenter.com or thefringechurch.com and help support us so we can reach many more. Thank you again for joining us today.